year's theme for Centers for Spiritual Living Worldwide, of which we are a part, is value-based spiritual living. And the quote is, "We stand together in a shared commitment and devotion to our spiritual principles, practices, and values." And this month, April, this is the second Sunday in April, and it's all about spiritual living through transformation and evolution. Are you in favor of that?
Yes.
Me too. Transformation and evolution. We do, as Centers for Spiritual Living says, we do deep personal work of self-discovery and healing to reveal the greater truth of our divinity, our wholeness, and our freedom. And that is so wonderful, because as we're doing this deep personal work, each of us, all of us, some in class, some in other groups, in our sharing and caring groups, we have the opportunity not only to do our own inner growth, which is marvelous, that's what we're all about, but to support each other while everyone else is going through their personal transformation and evolution. So one of my favorite quotes is the one that I shared this week in the email. "When you have come to the edge of the light that you know and are about to drop off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly." How many of us have been taught to fly time and time again? And doesn't that just build our confidence in that divine presence within us that always knows more than we may be aware of? Because sometimes we're moving forward with just a little trepidation or a lot of trepidation. But when we know we're not doing it all by ourselves, that there is a great creative, loving, wise, and wonderful power and presence with us, always expressing in us, through us, and even as us, because each one of us was created out of one life, God's life. And everything that's true of the infinite is true of its beloved creation, you and I, as unique manifestations, individualized expressions of that oneness. And so it's there. It doesn't feel like it when we're in a mode of separation. I'm here, God's there. That's not what we're about. And we are here to remind each other that we don't have to pray to something or someone outside of ourselves. That this mighty presence and power, everywhere present, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, omniactive, is right within each one of us. Each one of us is actually a center of that divine life, ready to express itself in more magnificent ways all the time, as soon as we say, "Yes, yes, please, come forth." We're being gathered to that center all the time. We're being reminded of it in many different ways. And sometimes the reminders don't come in pleasant ways. Sometimes the reminders come as scary things that we don't even want any part of. And that can be a wake up to remembering not to believe in the appearance, but to believe something greater than that. To remember that it is all God, it is all good. You've heard that so many times, but let's begin to feel what that might feel like. Because what this truly is about, wings will be provided, is that every path we walk is supported by infinite mind. It's the hero's journey. How many of us have flown? Okay. And I don't just mean inside of an airplane. Ha ha ha. Not too long ago, Melody invited me to join her for a wonderful birthday present that had been given to her by her beloved husband, our beloved board president, Frank Henninger. So Melody and I are about to amaze you with our ability. Whenever you're ready, Edie. You will be believers here. Didn't that look like fun?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it is. You can do that right here in King of Prussia. Amazing. So, you're familiar with the hero's journey, yes? Right, and that was Joseph Campbell. And the hero's journey appears in drama, storytelling, and myth, in religious ritual, in psychological development. And it describes the typical adventure of the archetype known as the hero. And this is the person who goes out and achieves great deeds on behalf of the group or the tribe or civilization. It starts out with something amazing for oneself, but it never stops with that. It goes on to embody something that is going to be a boon for all of humankind. So we trust this will be too. The stages of the hero's journey are about a dozen. And we begin with the ordinary world. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Edie. Next time I'll get that to you a week ahead of time. I promise. The ordinary world. Do you know that most people live in an ordinary world for a while? Because we're extraordinary beings. So it's not possible to remain feeling just humans for our whole lives. In the ordinary world, the hero in the beginning begins to get a little uneasy because he or she is uncomfortable, maybe not aware yet, and is introduced to us with the situation or the dilemma. No, I've got to go through this forest. I must go do that. I have to go fight a dragon. I don't think I want to do that, but that's what I'm seeing and hearing is necessary. And there's some kind of polarity in the hero's life that's pulling in different directions and causing a little stress. This is called divine discontent. Anyone familiar with that? I mean, life goes on day to day, ho-hum, da-da-da, but there's something else. There's something else. We don't know what that something else is yet. Anyone can relate to that? We've all been through that, and we continue to be. Then the second stage is the call to adventure. Something shakes up the situation. We can think of all kinds of things, can't we? Either from external pressures or from something rising up deeply from within. So the hero has to face the beginnings of the idea of change. That's the call to adventure, but you know what happens right after that. The third step is the refusal of the call. Not me. I'm sure someone else can handle that. Yeah. So the hero feels the fear of the unknown and tries to turn away from the adventure. And then sometimes another character may express that there's uncertainty and danger ahead. So even if the hero had begun to think, well, maybe this is mine to do, as somebody else says, no, no, no. So there's the refusal of the call, but it can't last for very long because the fourth step is the meeting with the mentor, and that's when the hero comes across a seasoned traveler, sometimes a traveler between worlds if we're going into the mythology. And there the hero gets the training equipment, just like we were wearing our suits, and we had our helmets, and we had been given our instructions by the flight instructor ahead of time. So we knew what to do and what to expect, and we felt much more confident about walking into that tank and having that wonderful wind, puffs of air lift us. We were confident then. The mentor is an important thing. How many mentors have we had in our lives? And sometimes they're people that we see and meet with, and sometimes they're people that we read about or see a movie about. And we're inspired by somebody who has taken this kind of trip and has found that the faith and the confidence they had in something greater took them all the way through. So when we have that wonderful source of courage and wisdom, there's a hint of wings, a hint that we have wings. Then we go crossing the threshold. That's the fifth step. And that's when the hero commits to leaving the ordinary world and entering a new region, a new area with unfamiliar conditions and different rules and values. Sort of like being born here into the world, right? We have to learn the rules. We have to learn how our bodies work. And we have mentors along the way who teach us these important things. And we also have some naysayers who say, oh no, you can't do that. So we have a combination of influences, external, but the bigger influence is the internal one that says, I have wings and I know I can fly. You know, it's like the wonderful fable of the eaglet, this little eagle who had been found as a tiny, just out of the egg baby, and was tethered to the ground. And that's all it knew, walking around on the ground. Until one day this great, beautiful eagle was flying overhead, and the little eaglet looked up. And the big eagle came closer, flew down, and with one wingtip touched the tiny wing of the other, and it just broke free and flew. We have wings, and sometimes we need another being to remind us of that, because we hadn't yet figured it out. The hint of wings is the beginning. Maybe I have wings. Maybe I can do this. And sometimes this call to something greater and away from the ordinary world may simply be developing a meditation practice and leaving this ordinary world where we're hearing things that are not pleasant to our ears or to our eyes, seeing things that we can't believe are happening. We come into a deep place of meditation where we're being gathered in and we're finding truth within. The universal truth that we all share, that infinite possibilities do exist. And that in itself is a hero's journey. Just sitting still for a few minutes can be a hero's journey, right? So then we cross the threshold, and the hero commits to leaving the ordinary world and entering this new region, as I said. And I think of Emma Curtis Hopkins' statement, my old idea of life is purified. I no longer have that old idea of the way life has to be. I begin to get a new idea, a purified idea, a divine idea of how life can be. And then the sixth stage is the tests, the allies, and the enemies. Anybody experience any of those? You're on your path, and you've got a few tests, the hero's tested, and then we start asking, who can I trust? Who is here to encourage me? Who is here to convince me that it's not a good idea? And the truth is that even those, and they're not necessarily enemies, they're people who may be thinking well of you and wanting the best for you and afraid for you because they haven't yet experienced these great adventures. So they can be a mentor as well. They can turn out to be an ally. But we have to ask ourselves, who can I trust? What can I trust? Let's start with trusting that divine presence within me and trusting myself and having the confidence to follow through no matter what else is happening out there. Infinite wisdom leads to the discovery of real allies, following that wisdom. So then the seventh stage is the approach. And this is where the hero and the newfound allies prepare for the major challenge in a special world. A major challenge. So comes the ordeal. I don't want to frighten you here. You've already had a few, haven't you? Haven't we all experienced a few ordeals in walking along our hero's path? It's about near the middle of the story that the hero usually enters a special central place in this new special world and confronts death, dances with death, and faces his or her greatest fear. And out of that moment, death, from that sense of death, comes new life. Because things have to die. Some old ideas have to die. The old paradigms have to give way to the new ones. And what if our call is not to overcome these places, these events, these circumstances, these things that come up that look like we need to be slaying dragons? What if our call is not to overcome it, but to move into it and to change it through love? That's very real to me. Moving into, once we have the courage, once we realize we are not doing this alone, not only do we have the support of all of this beloved community and many others, but we have infinite wisdom, that divine presence of love within us and all around us that allows us to bring something better into the circumstances and into the conditions that we may have feared or may have been troubled or upset by. Let's not try to overcome. Let's move into it not alone. We have to take love with us, because love is the transforming power that's going to make all the difference in the world. Then we get to the reward. And that's when the hero takes possession of the treasure that's won by facing all of these events on the journey. And there may be a celebration, but it's not a full celebration yet, because there's still some little concern about maybe losing the treasure that I just found. Now, can you relate to that? You find something wonderful, you read a great book, you see a movie that just inspires you, motivates you, and reminds you of who you are, and you think, okay, I'm going to do this, and well, I'm not so sure, because so-and-so made a statement. We don't want to get to the point that we become fearful that we're going to lose it. Rumi, remember, we love this. Rumi in his poem simply says, keep walking, keep walking. Then number 10 is the road back. Whew, it's been a long journey, hasn't it already? And it's only been 5 minutes. About 3/4 of the way through the story, the hero is driven to complete the adventure, leaves that special world. Now what we're thinking mythologically of the special world is the real world of the absolute, where the infinite life of the divine is fully present within each of us, and we're rediscovering it. That's the real world, with capital R. We want to bring the real world back out of the small R real world. So we want to make sure that the treasure is brought home, not only so that we will be able to live our lives more fully with greater freedom and greater success in every area, but so that we may inspire other people to do the same. That's the treasure we're bringing back. So don't you know, when we are positively influencing the entire human race conscious mind, subconscious mind, rather than having it impose its sometimes negative ideas upon us, like, well, you're just not old enough, or you're too old, or all the things, all the nonsense we hear, rather than allowing it to negatively influence us, when we are positively, consciously, constructively, creatively influencing that great subjective mind, that great universal subjective mind that we all share, we're bringing the treasure back to everyone, not just to us. And often there's a chase scene. Anybody like chase scenes in movies? Well, they're not my favorite, but I can tell you somebody upstairs who loves them. Well, some little boys never grow up, you know. So sometimes that chase scene, you know, there's some sort of critter chasing the hero out of the forest to get back. And it can just add a little bit of oomph, like, this is my mission, and I'm completing it, and no one's going to bite my ankles. I'm on my way out. Thank you. And that's okay. That can sometimes give us just a little bit of oomph, a little more motivation. Then the resurrection. So at the climax, the hero may be tested once more on the threshold of home. Do I have my key? Am I going to be able to get in? Is there a window open somewhere? Did I leave a key under the mat? How am I going to get back here? So there's sometimes a last sacrifice for purification, another moment of death and rebirth. Metaphorically, of course, but on a higher and a more complete level. Like, I really, really am surrendering completely this time. I truly, by the hero's action, the polarities that were in conflict are finally resolved. And that great resolution brings it on home. Lloyd Strom of Marcia Sutton and Lloyd Strom has a wonderful saying. When we're in the middle of something that is so difficult and so painful, and we've all been there, he says, big crucifixion, big resurrection. That kind of helps us feel a little more okay with, all right, I'm not doing this alone. I have all the support, all the guidance, all the love, all the compassion in the world, and I am doing this not by my own hand, but by that presence and that power within me that knows. So, I mean, some great examples of these heroes' journey. Who's the hero of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible? Moses. Who's the hero of the New Testament? Jesus. And isn't it great? We have Palm Sunday today. And that's a remembrance of Jesus humbly, I mean, on the back of a donkey. How much more humble can your ride be? No Lexus. Back of a donkey. Entering the city of Jerusalem, which means the city of peace. And we all pray that is going to be a reality one day. But entering into the city of peace humbly with palms strewn in front of him with Hosanna, Hosanna, great triumphant entry, with his knowing the entire time what was next. He was walking, driving, walking, riding the hero's journey with total confidence because he was not alone and he knew it. And the same with Moses. He was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and he couldn't have done that by himself. He knew that he listened. He had conversations. He had this burning bush which helped him know the name of God, right? So he was leading the Israelites to freedom, out of bondage, and that ordinary human stuff, especially when all the negativity starts coming in and the fearsome stuff and we don't like these circumstances and whatever is going to happen, we're wringing our hands and gnashing our teeth. And remember about the old little old lady sitting in the front row of her preacher saying, and at that time there will be wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth. She says, Pastor, I've told you this before, but I just have to tell you again. Pastor, what about those of us without teeth? And he says, teeth will be provided. So here we are, the situation, the world situation is terrible over wringing our teeth and gnashing our hands. Let's just change it up a little bit. What do we do? That's the time to remember, I can't do this by myself. I'm not intended to do it by myself. I'm intended to set the intention and to join with others in a greater community of beloveds, light workers, who know we are to stand up and make a difference here. And you know, when Moses was leading the children from Egypt into the promised land, a rabbi friend of mine once told me, do you know what the children, the Israelites, were doing? They weren't just complaining. They were murmuring. The word he said was murmuring. We at least had something to eat there. You know, what is this stiff? And that's another thing he told me. He says, that manna that came out of the sky, he says, manna, at least that's what he told me. I had rabbis with good senses of humor. He said, it means, what is this? Manna, what is this? They were fed. They were given what was needed at the time, as everybody is, once we look up and receive it. And you know, Moses never made it into the Promised Land, but he made sure that the children of Israel did. The Moses consciousness brings a necessary understanding of the law. That's what Moses brought, was this is how the law works. And we love, oh, how I love thy law. We love knowing that we can depend upon the infinite law of mind, that it works in our lives all the time, that we have the ability to utilize it consciously, creatively, with wonderful intention, and bring beautiful results. And then, but the Jesus consciousness, he said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And love is the fulfilling of the law, which is why the hero must bring the consciousness of love into the circumstance that we cannot abide. We aren't meant to abide horrible consequences and circumstances and conditions. We are meant to bring love to it through this hero's journey. And both of these are such beautiful examples, and I love how Palm Sunday's today. The first night of Passover is tomorrow. We honor faith traditions, and we learn the eternal truths that they give to us. See, we have reason to trust divine wisdom, and we have faith in this direction. Now, there are people who are following the Lenten tradition of giving certain things up for 40 days. Yes? Is that how long it is? From Ash Wednesday to Easter. I didn't grow up in that tradition, so I'm asking those of you, most of you, who did. Well, we have a little different one here. You heard earlier about the class that we're wonderfully enjoying right now, which is Living as the Flow. It's a great prosperity class. And what we're doing in that class, and now it seems to be going viral, is that we're wearing these purple bands. I didn't wear this today because it matched my outfit, because it doesn't. But it's a 21-day challenge of no complaints. And if I were to find myself complaining, I don't have to snap it or anything like that. I would simply take it off this wrist and put it on this wrist and start again. And there's no shame in day one, but I haven't taken this off. I'm very grateful to say that I have not issued one complaint since I put it on. Oh, no. Don't you know the difference between gloating and gratitude? And if it sounded like the former, I didn't mean it. I'm just grateful. I think it's amazing. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this is day five. I have only 16 to go, and you know what? I like it so much, I'll probably continue, with or without the band. And it's spread. Other people are wearing them now, too. I can get you some. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a way that we are fasting from negativity and feasting on life. We're leaving behind those patterns that did not serve us. And we're entering into a whole new region, a whole new extraordinary territory of spirit. See, the fear of surrendering to the unknown ultimately must give way to what? To the joy of aliveness. We feel so alive when we're on these adventures, when we're moving from one part of the country to another, when we're selling our house and moving to another one, when we're entering into a new relationship, when we're starting a new career opportunity. How many other new adventures can you think of? Many. And we feel the joy of aliveness when we allow ourselves to move and to be lifted into a higher consciousness. That's when we begin to attain a deeper awareness of the possible, and that's with a capital P. Everything is possible. It's a state of supreme faith in the presence and the power that's greater than anything we know in the human experience. And we depend upon the dependable. That you can absolutely trust. And everything necessary, all the required resources are there, instantly given to us at the moment that we need them. Don't you love it when your confidence grows? And it deepens. And we become more faithful to the inner faith that is always there. Because the presence cherishes us and the power guides us step by step. Wings will be provided. And I'm not talking about the kind you eat. Wings will be provided. It's so good to remember that. It's so good to have moved through so many of these hero's journeys that we know without a doubt we'll either stand on solid ground or we'll get to fly, and you'll love it. And Ernest Holmes says, through spiritual discernment, we see that we have everything within us and that we have within us a power which is greater than anything we shall ever contact, a power that can overcome every obstacle in our experience. I guess it would be turning those stumbling blocks into stepping stones. That's what we do. And set us safe, satisfied, and at peace, healed and prosperous in a new light and a new life. So let these wonderful heroes remind us that we too are on a hero's journey, that we have the capacity to move beyond into new territory, beautiful, beautiful new terrain, gorgeous views. It's springtime. It's time to let our hearts begin to soar with that which is possible and that which is beautiful, that which is good. And for us to bring that consciousness of love, that's the greatest hero's journey of all, I think, to bring that consciousness of love into everyday's activities, especially into those things that look scary or not so pretty. Let's bring that consciousness of love. So will you say with me, I am constantly held in a divine embrace.
I am constantly held in a divine embrace.
I walk with confidence.
I walk with confidence.
Along my path of spiritual evolution.
Along my path of spiritual evolution.
And so, my beloveds, beginneth your lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.